Hello and welcome. You are listening to Midnight Margaritas. Sky here, and I am with Bada, and we are going to have a conversation about 9/11. So welcome. So we were just talking about our theories and everyone else's, and truth and reality from the lies that we've been fed. So we could call it that, right?
It happens all the time.
What do you mean it happens all the time?
We get spun a narrative and we all fall for it.
Yeah, so true. So true. We do. So tell me again what you were just talking about as far as what you saw in the explosives, how they...
There were many nuclear devices with thermite as well involved. That's what made less destruction than a building falling, because it would have caused so much devastation around the other buildings. So the mini nukes, everybody thinks a nuclear bomb has to be a
big, huge
a
thing
guided
takes
missile.
Out of-
They can make them the size of baseballs nowadays, softballs. You could say it's new technology, but it's not. It's been around for a long time. And when you see the pyroclastic cloud that it created...
There's no question.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at it and I see some of the videos that... I've never actually... looked into it very deep. I've only seen bits and pieces of little videos that people have posted and said, huh, that doesn't seem like it would fit the description of what we were told happened.
Well, that's nothing new in life.
Because you can clearly see, like you said, those explosives going off in the building before it comes
each
down.
Each floor.
Yeah, it was like a progression. It started on the lower levels and went off. As you went up the levels.
But a lot of survivors of the tragedy actually said themselves that just after the planes hit, there was massive explosions in the ground floors.
Right,
Knocked them off their feet and everything like that. So are you telling me that a plane caused that when it hit? I don't know, was it? I can't remember the...
It was quite a ways up.
Yeah, a good ways up. So it caused that. So no, I mean, again, if people open their eyes and look at the footage, they'll see that. But then we're talking to people that are open-minded and know these things. I had a funny conversation with my boss today, Skipper, and we're saying it's a tragedy of these poor people dying. And then he went, yeah, imagine these Muslims doing that kind of thing. And I didn't want to get into it. I'm going, oh shit.
Just bite your tongue.
Yeah,
right?
Bite your tongue. Cause, you know, he's a proud American. He's a hardworking man. He's worked for everything he has. But it's easy to put a film over your eyes when you don't want to look for the truth. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if it's that people don't want to look for the truth. I think that they settle for what they settle for the Kool-Aid they're given, because it's comfortable, it's easy to accept, and the alternative would be to think that, oh my God, my country is just opened up war on our own soil.
Yeah.
You know, we just literally killed millions of people.
Well, thousands.
Thousands with that, yeah. But thousands of people. Right in homeland.
Home soil.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. But, you know, if you're... You know, this happened with JFK, it happened with the First, Second World War, how they can put out...
Vietnam,
false flags for these situations happening. It's not just for one agenda, as we say, it's for a multiple facet...
Right.
Agendas.
Yeah, it's definitely multifaceted, and it all, it's funny because I did a little mini podcast earlier today on a different platform, and the gist of it was basically awareness. I think for most people in the world, what happened 20 years ago on this day in New York City was a wake-up call. I think that was what forced, that was a catalyst to push us into not only for the bad guys or the black hats or whatever you want to call them, the satanic occult, for them to achieve what they've achieved right now, it kind of fast-tracked it into that.
Yeah.
But it also, for the population, for the human race, it was a catalyst to get us to the point where, you know, we can actually see the lies and we are aware of the bullshit that they're trying to feed us, the Kool-Aid they're trying to make us drink. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it doesn't. Usually I'm jovial with podcasts, but today I'm not jovial. You know, I want to respect the poor people that died on this day for no reason. Reasons that could be avoided.
For selfish reasons of the few
of the
who
cult.
Control the world. And it's disgusting
that
not only that they have done this to humanity, but that nobody, that they're, you know, still feeding lies to everybody and programming. And it's like, it's never ending. I mean, I see an end coming, but as it stands right now,
yeah, but, you know, I don't want to go on to about COVID too much because it's really demoralizing. It's the same thing. It's just different puppets that are leading the charge. It's the exact same thing. Fear, 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 fear.
Do you think it's different puppets or do you think it's the same puppets working with more people?
I think it's different puppets in the front line.
Right, okay, yeah.
Than it would have been 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But not to say that they're not working in the back, in the background.
Because I still think they're still there.
Yeah, they're in the background, but they're not on the.
They're not on the front line anymore.
On the TV screens.
Because it's a whole different genre.
Plus you've got to make it look different as well.
You've got to make it look a little bit more palatable.
But, I mean, that was the day I woke up. That was the day my awakening happened. You know, when I seen it live back home in Scotland, when I seen the plane going into the tower, and I thought I put on a Bruce Willis film. I thought it was Die Hard 2, 3, 4 or whatever. And then they were saying this is happening, and I was like, no way. Because let's be honest, coming from Scotland, England, Wales, Ireland, doesn't matter, or France, Germany. We all look up to America because we all think they've got the great life, but somebody's attacking America. So we all sort of, it shook us all.
Yeah.
I've got to say, it shook us all. And I remember, because we have quite a lot of Muslims in Britain, and I spoke to some and they were terrified. They were absolutely terrified. People that were hard workers just like ourselves and running businesses and whatnot, and it's usually shop owners, to be honest, store owners, and they were terrified because they were getting attacked by people who haven't got a brain.
Yep.
You know.
I'm glad you said that because that reminds me, I had I have some very close friends who live in New York City, and they still to this day, let me kind of back up a little bit. So what COVID has done to the world right now is divide and conquer, separation, created a mass gap in separation. And I look back on 9/11 and I see the same thing happen, which
then
is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think that was the beginning of it. That was like kind of a test run. Let's see how we can divide the human race and get them to fight against amongst each other. And with my friends that live in the city, they would tell me stories about going into a pub and seeing, you know, Muslims, and the Muslims would be the ones that, now this is not from firsthand, this is from, you know, obviously secondhand from them, would be the ones to like sit there and ha ha, America deserved it, you know, la ha ha. And of course that would cause a fight, and literally they would have like knockdown drag out fist fights over this whole thing, and this was still happening, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that the Muslims that they were encountering are bad people. What it did was it created the whole incident, created that divide. It gave them permission to hate Americans because we hated them. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, first of all, we're the ones that accused them of something that, you know, they didn't do. Maybe they were, you know, part of it, or a few of them were part of it, but it wasn't, that's not what it was. You know, our own government, our own federal agencies, starting with the CIA, was, you know, behind the whole thing. You know, but that was led by the elite.
Yeah. Dick Cheney was the front man. Dick Cheney,
yeah.
Donald Rumsfeld.
Bush.
Bush hasn't got a brain, so he just goes along with it.
Well, now I'm, again, well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Bush.
Father Bush.
Yeah, and the Bush Foundation, because that's pretty much what it's funded by. The Bushes, the Gates, the Faucis, the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, you know, the 13 families, you know, are what's funding this whole thing, and they're reaping the rewards from it, the money, and basically it's all about money, power, and control. Do you agree?
Totally.
So finish your story about watching it live, because you bring up a very valid point. I watched it live too, but I think I got distracted somewhere in the middle before the end of the whole thing happening, because I was on the phone to my friends in New York, or at least trying to reach them. So you were talking about watching it with a news broadcaster from the BBC.
Oh, yeah. Her name, I can't remember her name offhand, but she was reporting on the Building 7. It was also part of the, you know, the catastrophe that happened, that it collapsed, but she was actually, I would say, maybe half a mile away from Building 7, you know, with the camera on her, and she said it collapsed 20 minutes ago, but it was still standing. So she got it wrong in the script, and then what happened was she went, hold on, and somebody said, we've lost, I can't remember her name, to be honest, they lost the woman reporter, only because the building hadn't been taken out yet with explosives, so she got. But then people did. That's what made me go, hold on a minute. She just said that building fell and it's still standing behind her. So I started looking into it and researching it a bit more, you know, weeks and months after. Then that's when it all started coming.
So one mistake like that from mainstream media,
yeah,
allowed people to really, you know, that was like,
yeah,
your clue.
She got the script wrong. Well, she was too early. They were
too
early.
Yeah, they broadcast
too
it too early.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Because my recollection of it, I was, you know, I was at home watching it on TV as well. I think it was Good Morning America that was broadcasting it. And, you know, I'm watching her whatever she was reporting on. I don't remember who it was. And the picture in the back is of the two towers, and then all of a sudden I see this plane flying and hit the tower. It's like the first tower. I was like, what the hell just happened? And she was still going. You know, she was still on her roll of whatever she was reporting.
But we had BBC then. You wouldn't have BBC, would you?
Oh, we didn't have BBC. This was, like I said, it was Good Morning America.
Yeah.
I don't know what network it aired on, but it was literally, I remember her, like, the look on her face was like, oh, what the hell's going on? And she looked behind her, you know, and the camera's still rolling, and she's watching it, the second plane hit. So I did see both of those, but then, like I said, I was on the phone to people in New York or trying to get through, couldn't get through, so I called family.
It's a tragedy, but an absolute tragedy that these people are so evil they don't give a shit. They don't have allegiance to any countries or any. It's the new world order. Yeah, it's new world order. It's global domination. So they don't care who they take out. And can you blame people for hitting America? You know, if America goes over to the Middle East and starts bombing their houses, and they've nowhere to stay anymore, and then they start moving into Europe and coming to America, where are they supposed to go? Because they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, the Taliban, and or who was it then? It was the Taliban, or CIA
ISIS.
Operatives.
Well, here's another thing to
ISIS
this.
ISIS didn't come till later.
So shortly after the events of 9/11, there were, now I listened to another podcast this morning. I don't remember what it was, but everybody's reporting on it. Everybody's doing updates on this stuff. But the military was basically put on high alert, okay? And one of the generals had reports on his desk saying, "No, we're not. We're on hold. We're not going in right now." Well, does anyone have any proof that Bin Laden was behind this? Well, no, there's no proof on that. But okay, then I think it was like 10 days later or something. There was a report that came across this general's desk saying that, no, we are going into, basically, we need to start wars with seven countries and change the governments on seven countries. What was it, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Saudi Arabia?
No, because Saudi Arabia gets funded by, they're the best pals of the Bushes. They funded what went on.
So what are the other three countries that were, I don't remember. But anyway, so that's what this was all about. That's why 9/11 happened. They needed an excuse to go to literally start wars with these seven countries and take over the government and change the government in these countries. Am I on target with that?
Yeah, it was called the something declaration. I know the fellow you're on about. He came out as a sort of whistleblower.
There was a whistleblower on it.
He came out and said what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And he was against it.
So that was part of the agenda. The other part of the agenda was to the Patriot Act, which is why things are happening right now, because they needed a reason to start the progress of tracking, tracing, monitoring, spying on our own people, taking away, you know, well, they're starting to take away gun rights now, they're trying to, and so it's this whole, it was like the catalyst to get us to where we are right now.
Yeah, so they need another agenda, so this will happen again in another 20 years. It'll be something else, and something else. It's old and boring. If you can let it affect you, but you just got to get on with it. That's my way of thinking. I mean, there's a girl from my island that got killed from a suicide bomber in Manchester not so long ago.
I remember you telling me.
She was at a gig. Her name's a pop girl. She's American anyway, so they went to a gig, traveled hundreds of miles to go and see this gig, and there was a suicide bomber in the arena, and she got killed and her friend got badly wounded, and that's coming from a small island where I come from, Scotland, so you never think you're going to get touched, by these things, but you get touched by it. But,
yep.
You know, and you know, our island, which is predominantly Catholic and very religious, and then you're like, and then they're all slagging off Muslims, and you're like, well, surely the Catholic religion says to forgive. And I know you can't forgive these kind of things. It's, but you see how it starts, because usually with small places like where we come from, oh, it doesn't affect us, it doesn't affect us, it doesn't affect us. But it, the long run, it did affect in that day when she got killed, wee Ailey.
Well, and I think, you know, that's really important that you said that, because I think no matter what happens in the world, it affects everybody. You know, it affects such a huge, it's like...
I'll say it affects people more nowadays because of internet. As soon as the internet came to come.
Online, yeah.
Yeah, it made the world a smaller place.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally do.
Whereas, you know, going to America would seem like quite daunting. It's, you see so much.
It's almost like you're a part of everywhere now. Mm. If you can connect with somebody in, you know, Australia,
yeah,
it's like you feel closer. You feel like you said, the world's so much smaller.
It's just become a small place. You know, through the internet. Anyway.
Yeah. So what are some of your other thoughts on the events of 9/11 and how it went down?
It was a huge insurance scam. You know.
To elaborate on that a little bit.
Larry Silverstein, that was I think he was in charge of the buildings. They were saying that the buildings needed refurbished and whatnot. They were starting to get dilapidated. That's the word. And to put scaffolding and all that, and trying, that would take millions of dollars and billions. You know, plus the destruction around Manhattan itself. You know, having that kind of work going on. And if our listeners look up with Larry Silverstein and look how much money he got paid back because he insured the buildings.
Silverstein.
He insured just the month prior to 9/11. He renewed his insurance on the buildings, and he didn't go through State Farm or any of your.
He went through the Nazi
organization back in the German days, back in the Second World War days, and he asked her how, if he could insure buildings for a terrorist attack.
He asked the insurance company if he could insure buildings for a terrorist attack.
Yeah. And then they said, "What, in one building?" He went, "No, two." Might as well get the two. So
what about Building 7, if that was the case?
It's part of it, isn't it? It's all part of that area.
Yeah, but that's another building. No, I mean, he figured we'll just take that one down anyway and call it good.
Yeah. Well, it had all the files for Enron and all that as well. So.
Oh, that's right. So maybe that wasn't his idea. Maybe that was the elite's idea to take that out so that they get a bigger payoff on it. That's an interesting,
money, isn't it?
Well, and the other thing is, no one really knew about Building 7. No one, you know, everybody like ignored it and pretended it didn't happen. Even to this day, if you ask somebody in the street, you know, hey, how many buildings went down in 9/11 attacks? They'd say two, just the Twin Towers. And I'm like, really? What happened to Building 7?
Oh, Building 7 is the key.
Yeah, because that, like you said, that's where all the key.
That's the why. As you say, why was that taken out when it was hardly touched? Mm-hmm. And a few glass panes smashed and whatnot. There's a few fires, but why was that taken down? Because a representative of Larry Silverstein said, sorry, a journalist says, we heard that Larry Silverstein said on a phone call to pull Building 7, pull it. That's jargon for basically demolition.
Right, blow it up, pull the trigger on it, yeah.
And later a statement that says, oh, no, we meant to say pull the firemen out, pull the firemen out and pull it. It's totally different. Plus the firemen hadn't been in that building because they extinguished all the everything about 6-7 hours before that. So.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so that's.
So he's got the name of Larry the Liar. But they got paid by the insurance companies did pay out, Alliance did pay out.
Trillions, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a huge moneymaker for him. So it gave the elite an excuse to use.
Well, there's several different agendas to it.
Right.
Unfortunately, it doesn't do anything for the poor people's lives that were lost.
No, it doesn't.
You know, they were all part of the plan. Unfortunately, they get in the way.
Yeah, I think that's what makes me that's what angers me the most is that, you know, they sacrifice innocent people for the agenda, you know, and it's going to continue to happen.
It's been known in human history for a long time, since we've been so-called told it. But
that's a whole other.
I think even the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld said that the black budget programs had lost something like mislaid $4.5 trillion.
I remember hearing that, yeah.
Oh, he said it himself. He was there. I remember looking back and thinking, oh, we've mislaid 4.5. I can't remember if it was 4.5, but it was something.
It was up
that.
There. Some, yeah.
And then the next day there was 9/11, so that took all the journalists' minds off asking where the hell that money had gone.
Yeah.
Because there was a bigger agenda ahead.
Right. Oh, we got a bigger story over here. Bigger. Yeah. And that goes right to
the timing, the synchronicity of how they're working.
Synchronicity. Yep. Absolutely. And the fact that this is all part of the Mockingbird program. You know, Mockingbird.
They might call it something else. I'm not sure. I'm not.
Well, isn't that the term that they use on the propaganda, you know, press?
I think
Mockingbird press.
We can get baffled by words. We can get baffled by innuendos. At the end of the day, these guys wiped out their own people.
Right. But what I was talking about is how things are reported and when they're reported. That's what the Mockingbird press.
Well,
that's
they're all owned.
They're all told, you know,
what
to say, when to say.
Podcast. They're all owned. The mainstream press are owned by these people, so they get told, just like that woman getting the script too early.
Yeah,
she shouldn't have said anything until. So it shows you, and it's happening today. It's been happening. Mm-hmm. It's been happening. I'm a World War II buff. The propaganda that the Nazis used.
Yep.
So, nothing new there, you know.
Yep.
They don't care how many they kill.
No, you look at today, and it's crystal clear that the agenda is to kill off, you know, 75-80% of the population. I mean, what do the Georgia Guidestones say?
Yeah.
7.5 billion people or something like that?
There is 7.5 billion people, but they want to get it down to 5.5 million or something.
Yeah, some ungodly amount.
So it's in harmony with Earth. Who gives them the fucking right to decide? That's what I was saying.
Well, clearly they give themselves the right to decide that, but we're going to take that back.
Yeah.
We're going to take our power back. But we're going to take our...
9/11 is certainly a horrible moment in history, but if people looked into it, they would see how programmed and organized it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my whole thoughts on it were how our government and our military and our defense system Department of Defense is well, even 20 years ago, was, this is in my mind, and what we were all told and programmed.
How can people breach it?
Are the elite of the elite,
yes,
okay?
Right.
There's no way in hell anyone could breach. Infiltrate or
yeah.
breach any
yeah.
of our security. So
yeah.
it was like, it didn't even make any sense in my brain. It was like, this is impossible.
Well, also, there's another part to the story. I don't want to bore the listeners with it, but there were war games going on at the time as well. So all the fighter jets and that were over the Atlantic practicing war.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And NORAD didn't know if it was war games that were going on or if it was this was real life. That's how fighter jets didn't go up to intercept.
Right.
Because it only takes something like 12 minutes, 30 minutes to get a fighter jet up in the air to watch the skies and blow anything out that's going to cause problems. Because I don't know if the listeners remember, but a golfer, because I love golf, a golfer called Payne Stewart had his private jet. The cabin must have depressurized and everybody died, lack of oxygen. But it was flying through the air and it was in the airspace where it shouldn't have been. And within 7 or 8 minutes, I think they said, there was two F-15s up to intercept it to see what was going on, because they were going to blow it out the sky.
Wow.
They were going to blow it out the sky, get it to an unpopulated area and blow it out the sky because they thought it was a terrorist attack. But they could see that there was no response from the pilots and it ran out of fuel and crashed into the desert. But that shows you what they can do if they're on alert.
Right.
So they couldn't do that on that day when 4 planes have gone bogus.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like our security system is amazing. There's no way in hell those pilots would have even gotten on the plane. Or not pilots, the supposed...
Well, the planes were radio controlled. And that takes a lot of people. I see, the more we talk about it, the more everything's coming back into my mind. The planes were radio controlled to crash into the building.
That makes sense.
Now, people say, how can you radio control McDonnell Douglas, I can't remember offhand. But how can you radio control a plane that big? Well, 2 years prior to that, they got Boeing 747. And flew it from America to Australia with no pilots, no passengers.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like a massive drone, if you like.
Yep. So that technology was already in the works,
that
already being tested.
That technology's been there since the 70s, 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they tried it in the 80s, not such a far distance, but they got a 747, I'm sure it was a 747, which is a huge plane.
Yeah, it's huge, yeah.
And flew it from America to Australia with no pilots, no crew, and nothing.
Wow.
So, how do you control planes that size? Easy.
Yep. So
that's just another part of the story. There's so many, to take your mind off this and that, there's so many aspects to it that it's so hard to take on board. Is that a buzzard?
That was a hawk.
A hawk.
And it was going after that little squirrel over there underneath the tree. I watched him. The squirrel came out of the woods and the hawk was following him. And the squirrel went right underneath the tree. And wow, okay, that was crazy. I'm sorry.
Just speaking of...
Literally a squirrel moment.
Well, you have many of them.
Sorry, the red-tailed hawk just flew like within 10 feet of us. Anyway, so yeah, the technology is amazing, and I think we, not we as the mass populace of the world, but we as the human race, controlled by the governments of the world, which are controlled by the elite, have technology that surpasses anybody's. I mean, it would blow your mind if you knew. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if you can recall, if you just go back and look back, the second plane actually clipped the building. So you've seen the huge fireball. So most of its fuel was extinguished in the air, whereas the first one didn't. But yet, the second building fell first. And you know why I think that happened? And by a good author that I read quite a lot, Jim Maris, if anybody, he said, shit. They're probably thinking, right, there's not going to be a fire in the second building like it was in the first. So we'll take out the second one first, because most, then they can't blame it on engine fuel. So because the second building got clipped before the plane went in and you've seen the fireball, they said, well, we can't say a building fell because there was no fire. So they had to take down the second building first.
Interesting. So, and if you look at this, if anybody truly decides to look at this, look at the details, look at the videos, the pictures, the information, and compare it to the information that we were fed, it doesn't, none of it makes any sense at all. And I haven't read any of the declassified documents yet. I believe it's called Black Vault, is where all the declassed documents are coming from. I haven't read them yet on, I mean, I've read them on, a couple of them on MK Ultra, you know, things like that, but I haven't read anything on 9/11 yet, and I don't even know if there, I haven't even done research on it yet to find out if it's there.
If you want to know about 9/11, read Jim Marsh's book, The Terror Conspiracy, and he'll tell you what went on 9/11.
The Terror Conspiracy by Jim Mars. Okay. Nice. I mean, I don't. Nothing makes sense with it. The stuff that we were told, nothing makes sense. Which kind of, you know, it's like what's going on today. Anyone with a, you know, with two eyes that are actually open, and any sort of perception to discern truth from lie in their capacity would see that. This stuff is not, what we're being fed is not the truth. None of it from mainstream media is the truth. Doesn't even make any sense. It's like, okay, no, we don't have any more science anymore. Science doesn't work. Science doesn't exist.
That's because they've got UFO technology.
We're just going to change our minds every 5 seconds and rewrite the script.
Well, it's mass confusion. That's what they want, mass confusion.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
nothing there, but tell the audience, your viewers, go and read Jim Maher's Terror Conspiracy. Look up Jim Maher's and some of the stuff he talks about, and he'll put you right in the right direction. Unfortunately, he passed away not so long ago, which just before COVID, so I think that was a bit suspicious.
And he was actually revealing all the agenda on that as well.
Depopulation.
So,
he wrote about that in 2013-14. So.
So, interesting. I mean, he wasn't ill. He wasn't, not like he was, you know, at
end
of age.
He liked
to
beer and smoke.
He was a fairly healthy human being. And so my whole take on that is he was probably taken out because he knew too much and he was telling too much.
Well, his big book was Depopulation 2013-14, and he would have seen right through what was going to go on in COVID. So,
A lot like all the other people out there that are being, every day are being proven right 100% on everything that they've been talking about, writing and exposing, you know, David Icke. Everything that he said has come to fruition. Alex Jones, you know, people thought he was off his rocker, but, you know, he's dead on in pretty much everything. There's a number of different people that have been talking about it and exposing everything as well. So.
think we should, in order to finish off the podcast, do a minute silence for the people that perished in 9/11.
Great idea.
Our prayers go to their families and people that are left behind.
Yeah.
They got caught in something that they didn't know what was going on.
Yep. They had no say in the matter.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. So let's take a couple moments and send love and light to the families who have lost friends and families from the events of 9/11 and the attack on New York City. God bless them all.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you everybody for listening, and just know that this is our own conversations, our own intuition, our own insight, our own research. So hopefully if you haven't explored and gone down this path, maybe you'll find it in your heart to do a little bit more research, open your eyes, help to wake people up around you. And I think that's one thing that we can do to honor those who have passed and those who have lost people in this horrific event that happened 20 years ago. Because the truth needs to come out. And the only way for that to happen is for us to keep moving forward and keep doing the research and keep getting the word out there. So, blessings. Thank you all for listening. Over and out.